lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
As the people of God, as members of a local church, we need to understand what a pastor's role is within that local church. I'd like for us today to look at, once again, the biblical church structure, that is, of a fundamental independent Baptist church. And this, of course, is taken from Dr. Andy Bloom's book by the same name, Biblical Church Structure. And I'm using this with his permission. Now, of course, I will take some liberty and I will add things, some thoughts of my own as we go through this and as we've been going through it. But today I'm like forced to look at pastoral authority. In addressing the seven churches, the Lord starts out each address with, unto the angel of the church. Now, of course, I'm speaking of the book of Revelation where he speaks to the seven churches. Most fundamentalist scholars agree that the Greek word angelos, that means messenger, it refers to the pastor. When the Old Testament, God spoke through his messenger, Moses, to instruct the people concerning the building of a tabernacle. Moses did not personally participate in the work. He did not do the work. But as God's messenger, he gave the orders. He gave the instructions. And, you know, I believe that there's a lot of problems today within local churches. People actually, they want more out of the pastor than he's supposed to give. Some people get irritated if the pastor does not have a hammer in one hand and a saw in another hand, and he's building and he's laboring, building things around the church and everything. The pastor's work is not with a hammer and a saw. Now, of course, if a pastor is, if he's been called to plant a church, to start a church, then many times that's necessary for that pastor to have a hammer in one hand and a saw in the other one and doing the physical labor. But the pastor is given to lift up the congregation, to feed the flock of God, to take care of the flock of God, to instruct the flock of God. And Moses did not participate personally in the work of building the tabernacle himself. He gave the instruction. And that's what God does through the pastor today. The pastor is to give instruction as God has given him instruction, as to be able to lead the people of God, to help us to know what we are to do as the children of God. Well, the pastor's job is to walk with God and receive his message for the church. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." When God speaks to the church, he speaks through his word and the pastor. In Acts chapter 6, it says that, it was through the apostles who were acting as pastors that the Lord led them to give orders in taking care of widows and assigning men to do so. One person has written this. This person has said, this is a pastor's job, to walk with God and receive his message for the church. God does speak to all the members individually, and they should each walk with him. Now, let me quickly add here, this person that I'm quoting, he says, speak to all the members individually. And let me remind you that he speaks to members individually through his word. And this person goes on to say, and that they should each walk with him, walk with God. But when direction is given to the church as a group, instead of individual persons, God speaks through the pastor. Well, this is something that you and I need to be aware of, and we need to remember that God uses the pastor to speak to us from God's word, from his word, letting us understand what our position and what our jobs are to be within the local church. Notice with me, if you would, I'd like to look at some observations about the pastor. The pastor is not a lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. In other words, that pastor is not to be lifted up on a pedestal. He's simply a man, but he's to be respected as God's man. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4 says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Well, the pastor's office is an office of service. The pastor is a servant. Now, once again, the pastor is called to be the servant of God. Many times we think that the pastor has to serve us, that the pastor has to serve me as an individual. Well, it works out that way sometimes, but the office of the pastor is to be of service to God. He's the servant of the Lord. Well, I keep going and thinking about this, and I repeat it again. The pastor is called to be the servant of God. Well, the service of a pastor is not to be commanded by man or a board of deacons or trustees, but by God. That man is not to be looked upon as a hireling, but he's to be looked upon as the person called of God to be the under-shepherd of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to take care of the flock of God. Once again, the pastor is the servant of God, not man. The pastor is held accountable to God as God's servant and not to man. Hebrews 13 and verse 7 says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Well, being accountable to God and not to man does not mean the pastor does not have to live up to the qualifications found in the Word of God. If a pastor fails to adhere to the qualifications for a pastor as set forth in Scripture, then that pastor is open for church discipline as outlined in Scripture. Well, the pastor is to hear for the church and deliver the message of God. He's to hear the message of God from God for the church and to deliver it. The pastor is not a foreteller, but a forth teller. The pastor gets the message from God, from God's book, the Bible, King James Bible, and delivers, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, the Scriptures are clear concerning God's judgment on disobedient pastors, whether we believe it or not. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences." Well, the pastor is to look to the Lord not only for his guidance and leadership for the local church, to guide that local church, but he's to understand that the Lord's watching him. Whatever the situation in the first church that we read of in the Scriptures, by the end of the first century, the local church was led by one responsible individual, and that's the pastor, who was charged with the oversight of the congregation and was accountable to God for it. He also knew about 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11, where it talks about the terror of the Lord. And let's think about this. Logically speaking, it would be better to be accountable to a board of men than to God. For what is their terror compared to God's terror? The pastor is accountable to God. Once again, I believe that is the reason there's so much, we'll say, confusion, a lot of confusion in many churches today, because there is a board who's trying to do the things unscripturally. They're trying to be under shepherds within that local church when God has called one man, the local shepherd, the local church pastor, to be the shepherd, his under shepherd of that local congregation. And that man is accountable to God, and he is to listen to God and do what God wants him to do. Now, there is such a thing as church accountability. In other words, if that pastor is not preaching the word of God as thus saith the Lord, then that pastor has to be dealt with according to the scripture. Well, let me speak of two specific points here before we close this section of our study. Within the church, there are those as God's servants who are appointed to have rule, and that is to carry out the heading of the Holy Spirit. The leader of the church is the one who has spoken unto you the word of God, and that is the pastor. To submit to authority is to obey. That is, we are to do it cheerfully. Submission is to place yourself under the authority of another. It's an act, one that one does willingly. If I say I will submit and refuse to submit later in some areas, I never really submitted in the first place. You see, one can obey grudgingly, but one cannot submit grudgingly. We must submit in order to do what God wants us to do, how we are to do it. The people of the church are to submit to the pastor's God-given authority. This is hard sometimes for people to understand. Many people, they rise up against God as they rise up against the man of God that God has placed within a local congregation. Once again, I believe that so many times has happened within local churches, causing splits in the local church, causing local churches to close because people will not submit to God's authority. God's authority has placed pastors within a local church as his under-shepherd to take care of the flock. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves," that's pastors, "as to all the flock," and that's the church, the people, "over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. The Bible says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." God has told us as the saved people, we're to listen to him. We're to listen to God. The way we listen to God is through his word. We listen to God through the God's man, and that is the pastor. And once again, that pastor is not to be placed on a pedestal, but we need to understand that that pastor has been placed there by God, and he is the one who is to guide and direct us from the word. Let's look at something else before we close today. Some biblical terms. We'll not get through all of this today, but once again, pastor means shepherding and is the first most important duty of a pastor, and that is the position of shepherding. The pastor is to feed the flock of God. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, and we've read this, it says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Let's listen to God. Let's let God lead and guide us and be faithful to him in our local church that we belong to, and serve God and uphold the pastor with our prayers, with our respect as man, as God's man, as God's shepherd. May the Lord bless you, and may you serve God today, telling others and other individuals that Jesus saves.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.